What's on the table up here?
Bread.
All right. Different kinds of bread. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a different bread and those are
very
white
different.
Bread.
This is all curly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you sit down and I'm going to tell you why this is here. Because Mr. Gooden is going to share some things with the congregation about how Jewish people celebrated and broke bread together. I brought my own bread. It's cut up into a number of different pieces. And are there different?
It's like a pizza.
It's kind of like a pizza. Are there different
like
kinds
that?
Here, Deborah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have three different kinds, so I hope the kids aren't allergic to any of these. And bread is really important.
I'm not
allergic
from them. I don't think I will be allergic from them.
I'm going to offer some to you, and you don't have to take it if you don't want. Bread is really important because today Pastor Pamela is going to talk about how the early disciples broke bread together. And they did that usually on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. And Victoria, are you with me? They broke bread together because they were really excited about being together. They had a sweet fellowship because they loved Jesus. And Jesus was doing so many things, important things in their lives, they just had to get together and have meals together to share what God was doing in their lives. So I'm going to share some of this with you. You can take whatever piece you want. You can take as many as you want, but be careful that you don't eat it all at once. Well, I was going to have some honey available. As Rhiannon mentioned in Scripture that God's word is sweeter than even honey. But my wife advised me against that this morning. A little too sticky. Would you like any more? Very polite. I'll leave the rest on the table. So I'm not sure there's anyone in nursery this morning. So if you can go back to your seats. Oh, before we do that, we've got to pray, don't we? So just let me put this down. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the bread of life. And Jesus, you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We pray that our fellowship together here today and in the days to come would be very sweet as we break bread together. We ask in your name. Amen.
It's good, eh? It's good, you said.
Watch yourself, watch yourself.
It's a huge.
Oh,
you're going in there.
Seem a little bit out of place this morning. That's probably it.
And if he passes out, somebody rush him past.
Hopefully I'll bounce. Anyway, well, let's come together and pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus and for all the ways that you have interceded, not just for us, but for the whole world, in and through him, through his coming. Through such giving of yourself and of him. And even so, for us now to experience your own spirit too. Thank you for such intercession that we even can be called into by your spirit working in and through our own hearts and souls. So even as we pray now, may your spirit quicken me, but all of us, Lord, in our own hearts, as we are coming before you, as we are continuously before you. May our lives be such an intercessory prayer as yours for us, Lord Jesus. So we do pray specifically for Pastor Keith and for the swelling on his left leg to go down for the restoration of the strength in that leg as well. Thank you for all the healing that you have granted to him so far now and restoring him. continue to strengthen him and prepare him in every way, Lord, to return to service here with us. And may you continue to be glorified and even more so in his life. Thank you. And pray also for so many others among our congregation who are not able to be with us right now, some for good reasons, like holidays and such. And be with them and visit them wherever they are, whatever they're doing, and help them to experience the reality of you among them and holding all creation in existence, and the gift of friendship, of relationship, of family. Grant your healing work of relationships where it's needed. And grant the joy to overflow where the healing happens and has happened. With people who are not able to join us for other reasons, we think of them, I think of the Hill family right now too, and for Anna Marie's father, who has been struggling a lot, and the family as well, his wife and the rest. Pray for continued guidance and wisdom with the family and with the staff, medical staff supporting. Pray for others who are shut in different ways, unable to leave their residence right now. May you help them to experience a sense of your presence with them too, supporting them, encouraging them, letting them know. May you move the hearts of your people as you have been to visit and to comfort and become physical manifestations of your presence with them, your comfort and reassurance. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered here together today and to continue to be with us, to quicken each and every one of us in this service of praise and honor to you, as we think on and meditate on this message about the bread and fellowship, breaking bread together. May we break bread together in your spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Of the apostles and the fellowship of the ecclesia. And they are two of four markers or four essentials of the church that were first started on the day of Pentecost when the promised Holy Spirit filled the Jesus followers with renewed life. That day, the apostle Peter gave his first sermon, and we watched a video and listened to Peter giving this profound proclamation which declared the gospel, telling the Israelites and the people from the other towns that Jesus is indeed the promised world's Messiah, and he was crucified by us, but has been risen from the dead. Peter spoke about the saving work of Jesus being the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies, that Jesus had to be rejected, crucified, buried, and resurrected as God's act of atonement. And we find all of that in Acts 2, verses 29 through 36. We then asked ourselves some difficult questions. Are we devoted to Jesus and the proclaiming of his gospel? Are we devoted to one another and teaching each other the gospel, which has been handed down to us from the apostles? We asked very plainly, Do we love one another here? And is our fellowship agape love? And are we caring for each other and helping each other when specific needs arise? Finally, we asked, is the Lord adding to our numbers here? Why or why not? As I mentioned last week, the four elements of the church go together. You cannot separate them. You cannot leave one of them out without damaging the whole thing. And so, in that spirit, we're going to spend this morning on the second half of Acts 2, 42, looking at breaking of bread and prayers. And we're going to begin with Gary's presentation of the theology from the Jewish perspective of breaking bread. Gary.
Please. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I probably don't need a microphone, but I'll hold it anyway. So, for you who know me, and for those of you who don't, my background is Jewish. I was born Jewish, and I was brought up with all the Jewish teachings. And the Jewish teachings were devoid of the teaching of Jesus Christ as Messiah. And unfortunately, to this very day, mainstream Judaism does not recognize the Messiahship of Jesus. But praise God, he rose up a movement probably 100 years ago, and there were those Jewish believers, and actually in the first church, it was natural, but in more modern times, they are coming back to their Messiah and embracing the new covenant, which actually, to the lack of knowledge of mainstream rabbis, are Jewish writings. In fact, if they knew their prophets, especially Jeremiah 31:30, he said that, "Behold, I bring a new covenant." Anyhow, the good news is Messianic Judaism is growing. I belong to a Messianic congregation besides my mainstream church here. And our outreach to the Jewish community is bringing fruit, and many are starting to come to the Lord. And it is the Lord's will that all will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just the Jews, but all nations, all peoples. So it's really exciting. But I just want to give you a very quick outline of what we did in the synagogue and at home, if Stephen. This is a picture of a family gathering together. And the gentleman, I'm sorry the pictures are so small, I don't know if your mouse will enlarge them, but great. Holding his child, and he's doing what they call the Kiddush. The Kiddush is not like the communion. The Kiddush is basically a breaking of bread and blessing the Lord for what he provides. That's what's behind that. The breaking of bread in the church, or the communion or Lord's Supper, was taught by Apostle Paul, and there are some churches that do, I guess you may have to make it a little smaller, but partake of the Kiddush. But basically, it's very simplistic. And how it, could you go to the next slide, please, Stephen? Okay, now here's three Jewish ladies lighting the candles, which is traditional before the Shabbat. And this type of breaking of bread was done basically on Friday nights, in the synagogue and in Jewish homes before partaking of the meal. And the idea of the candles were to usher in the Sabbath. There were some very mystical writings about the Sabbath being like a queen who comes to visit and what have you. And I'm thankful that in Messianic times now, in times of Jesus and after Jesus came, there's been some truth put into this. So the ladies would wave their hands up like this to usher in the Sabbath over the candles, and they would say a blessing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedishanu V'Tzivanu L'Hadlik Asher Shabbat. I almost said Hanukkah, sorry. But it's the same one for Hanukkah. But today, we do it differently. We do it, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedishanu, V'Natan Lanu, B'Diva, V'Divro, Yeshua Mishachenu, Leot Olam. That is, blessed our Lord, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who is King of the universe, who has commanded us to kindle the lights the light of Messiah Yeshua. I'm sorry. I'm going ahead of myself in my mind. So basically what's happening here is, not in this home setting, but in those who believe upon the name of Jesus Christ who are Jewish, we recognize that these candles signify Jesus, the light of the world, John 8:32. He said, "Behold, I am the light of the world." Not just some Sabbath queen or some mystic thing that they don't understand, but the tangible knowledge that the Lord rested on the Sabbath and that the Sabbath belongs to the Lord. Jesus' rebuttal to the Pharisees was that I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and if I choose to heal on the Sabbath or whatever I do, basically, it's okay because I am of God. I am God. Next slide, please. Now, we have the elements here. We have the cup, we have the candles, which are not on the table, and we have the challah bread. What is challah bread? Challah is basically an egg bread, but it's baked in a manner, braided. Even that picture does not reflect 12 humps. It's supposed to signify the 12 tribes of Israel. Very hard to braid it and get 12 mounds. And I bake my own, and it's somewhat like that, but they're always uniquely different. But the idea is that bread comes from the Lord. He provides. He provides everything. He is also the bread of heaven. He declared that. So, my time's almost up, but here I have a traditional challah. I also have a couple of gluten-free bagels for those who unfortunately can't have bread. And you're free to, or welcome to, please freely partake of it after. And I'll try and get some coffee going quickly. So the master of the house would take the cup. Now, here it is again that in Jewish homes they use wine. In believing homes, we use juice. Why? We don't need alcohol. We have the Holy Spirit. He's much better than any alcohol. I hope you'll agree with me on that. And then we lift the cup up and we sing, and I'll sing it. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Everybody says amen. Now, it is blessed are you, O Lord our God, you, our King of the universe, who has given to us the fruit of the vine. As Jesus said, behold, when he returns, he will not partake of the fruit of the vine until he ushers in his kingdom. So then we take a drink, and that's the fun part. And then they'll pinch a piece of bread off, or challah, not too big. And this is the traditional blessing that most devout Jewish homes use before even they eat. Although in Jewish homes, we don't say grace as per se, or bless the food. Well, just the father of the family or the elder of the family will take the bread and will say, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And then we add Hashem Yeshua Meshachenu, which is Jesus Christ our Messiah. So those changes came in when the first church was established and they were following the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Saul, who became Apostle Paul. And eat it. So, I wanted you to, and thank you for allowing this, to just give you a basic overview of the similarities and the differences. And that's why when Jewish people come to know Jesus, it's so much more fulfilling, because it completes and explains everything. Praise God. Take this with me.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. As we've just heard from Gary, the Jewish theology of breaking bread is very much a deep-rooted part of Judaism, as it was for Jesus and his followers. At the beginning of the family meal, this blessing, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth, is said as the bread is pinched, is broken. The blessing is referred to as the breaking of bread. And it is very well the same blessing Jesus and his family gave before each meal. We can turn this off for a sec, if that's okay, Stephen. Thank you. And if you recall from my sermon last month, Eating and Drinking with Jesus, we know that Jesus loved food. More importantly, he loved those that he ate with. And it should not surprise us then that the breaking of bread is considered one of the four markers of the church. When we gather as people possessed by the Holy Spirit, another tangible, visible expression of the work of the Spirit is then seen. Walls come down, barriers are broken, and the people of God from all walks of life enter into a special time of sacredness. I think this is a good time for me to publicly thank the Hills for graciously opening their home a few weeks ago. We had a marvelous barbecue. Thank you to everybody who brought food. It was particularly a very special time for me as I got to see your agape fellowship and to experience it. So thank you again for opening your home, and thank you for that time of fellowship that we had together. It was very dear to me. You see, when we eat together, deep friendships and solidarity begin to well up, and social restrictions are completely undone. Now, there are some theologians that believe the breaking of bread that's found in Acts 2:42 is sufficient for our act of communion. We came to the communion table last week. It was our Lord's Supper. And there are some that say that's what Acts 2:42 represents. But I think if we take a closer look at our Old Testament covenant, the explanation Gary just gave us, and also in particular Luke's writings, we're going to see that there are numerous places where Luke tells us a story starting with the sentence, "And Jesus was at the supper table with them." In fact, we're going to look at that screen now, please, Stephen. At a minimum, in Luke's gospel, there are 10 times where a significant supper meal with Jesus took place. I was thinking about this. Well, we'll look at it quickly. So this site is, the references are the references of where Luke writes about the meal. In the middle is just a brief description of where he was and who he was eating with. And the third one also talks a little bit more about the participants. Luke is trying to show us that the meal, the breaking of bread together, was absolutely crucial to Jesus. When I was growing up, the Young Street Mission, the Scott Mission, always gave a dinner meal to those that were struggling with poverty, those that were struggling with homelessness. They gathered together for a meal, and then there was a church service. Now, I understand, some of you know, you're shaking your head, you know what I'm talking about. My understanding is that that's changed a little bit, and in some situations they have removed the meal. What I've learned about doing any kind of street ministry, you have to feed people's bodies first before you can start sharing the gospel in most cases. If somebody's hungry, if somebody's wet or their feet are sore, they're really not going to listen to you. And I think this is the example that Jesus teaches for us, particularly in these 10 meals. There's a lesson to learn, there's instruction to be given, but Jesus knows the importance of feeling welcome at the table and eating together and opening up our homes together. So that's a little tidbit about evangelism. When we go out and do any kind of street ministry, we tend to the physical needs, because then the heart can be open and you've built trust, and a relationship can be established, and then somebody is more open to hearing the gospel message. At least that's been my experience. So I encourage you to look through the rest of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and John, and see where those meals take place and find out what's happening in those meals. Thank you for that slide, Chris. The point I want to make clearly is that for us, the Ecclesia, as the living church, eating together unites us. It's also very good practice for the banquet to come when Jesus returns. In good Jewish fashion, when the blessing or the grace is given at the table, our table suddenly becomes a holy place, and eating together becomes a sacred activity. Now here's some lighthearted humor. Have you ever just about ready to give thanks for your food, and you look down and you realize the whole plate is junk food? It's pizza, it's chips, and you're looking down going, uh-oh. So that's happened, right? Some of you laugh, so you know what I'm talking about. You actually end up praying, Lord, please protect our bodies from this food. Now, on a serious note about protection, who has been on a mission trip overseas, overnight? Yes, Rihanna, Mark, some other sisters here. Anywhere kind of exotic? Dominican? Where have you been? Dominican? It was the same trip? Okay.
No.
Different trip. Okay. So I was living in Bolivia for 6 months. And I don't know if you had this experience, but there were more meals where I looked down at my plate and said, Lord, please protect me from the food I'm about to eat. Right? A real serious, oh no, I've been served something and you don't want to offend. Right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. The giving thanks, the saying a blessing, the asking for protection over our meals and one another allows us to enter into that experience, an anticipation of the messianic banquet, a foretaste of Jesus' promise that his followers will eat and drink at his table in the new kingdom. And that's from Luke 22. In our breaking of bread now, the resurrection community is already partially partaking of that promise. And one day when Jesus does return, there is going to be this tremendous wedding banquet that we cannot possibly imagine. So my prayer for you here at CBC is that you will keep breaking bread together, keep opening your homes to one another, and be devoted to eating and drinking in the name of Jesus. Eat here at church together, eat in your homes, even eat at Tim Hortons. Because blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Amen? Amen. Now, prayer, the fourth element of a healthy church. But before I say anything about prayer, I want to add that these four elements, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and praying, don't have to be in that exact order. I don't believe that Dr. Luke and the Holy Spirit were giving us a systematic church theology here, but they were saying that these elements must be practiced regularly, together in rhythm, for a church to be healthy. And we all know how crucial prayer is for us. St. Paul reminds us to pray without ceasing. Jesus gave us the beautiful prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. Others call it the disciples' prayer because it's a prayer he gave to the disciples for the disciples to use. Most of us have prayed when we are sick, when we mourn. We pray during joyful times by way of thanksgiving. We pray for many things, wisdom, safety. Prayer is our incredible way that we get to talk to God. And you can pray anywhere and in any form. You can pray alone, you can pray together here corporately as a big group, or you can pray with your spouse, your children. Prayer is our way that we converse with God, and there's no wrong or right way. Now, when I type that, there's no wrong or right way, I ask myself, do I really believe that? And yes and no. Have you ever screamed in your prayers? Have you ever been angry while you've prayed? I'm keeping my hand up because I have. You ever just thrown your fists at heaven and... If you haven't, wow. But I suspect most of you have at some point. And although I think that's natural and it's okay, and God receives you and hears you. I do think there needs to be that included in that, that moment of reverence, because we are talking to the Creator God, our Heavenly Father. And the way I would speak to my parents on earth with respect and dignity, I mean, as a teenager, maybe I didn't do that so often. Anne-Marie is giggling her head off, so we know what she was like. We are talking to God. And so I think there are lots of moments when he allows our fists to shake. But then just like with Job, were you there at the beginning? He asks, right? We don't know the beginning and the end. So when I say there's no right or wrong way to pray, yes and no. You get my point? Right? When we're talking with God, there is a reverence. We're with our Heavenly Father. I have a note here, and I don't think we have enough time, but also when we pray, there's a listening aspect, right? We have to listen because it's a conversation back and forth with the Lord. And so I'm guilty of not always doing the listening part. I come to the Lord, blah, 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 and I let it all out, and I share everything, and I'm good with that. And then I pack up my Bible, and I go. And the Holy Spirit says, just a moment. Right? Some of you know. I can see on your faces. You know what I'm talking about. We need to listen, too, to the Holy Spirit. And I think we do that best when our spirits are very quiet and open to hearing what he's wanting to share with us, or convict us of, or comfort us in. And so I don't want to leave that part of prayer out, because listening has to be there. For your healthy future, here's my pastoral exhortation for the week. For your healthy future, CBC, you need to ask yourself, are we a praying church? Do we seek God's will? Do we seek God on all matters, even little ones? And I don't mean you as a member or an adherent sitting at home by yourself thinking about the church. I mean, are you a praying church? Do you come together corporately apart from Sunday and pray together? I know you have, I've said this nearly every Sunday, you have an exciting future ahead of you, especially when Pastor Keith gets back. And yet some things a little tighter. You've got some great plans ahead of you, but you will only be able to see where God wants to lead you if you're coming together in prayer as a group. Wouldn't it be great in the fall if somebody starts a prayer supper? You gather once a month for a meal at somebody's house, or you can all bring your own brown bag or maybe a potluck, and then spend the evening together praying for one another. Maybe you're already doing that. But my prayer is that you will practice the rhythm of breaking bread and praying together, because that's how you will discern where the Lord wants to take CBC for the next 5 years, 10 years, 1 year. I've already mentioned that I think when a meal is served, more people will come to Bible studies if a meal is served. How many of you know about Alpha? Have you done Alpha in this church? Okay, so I did Alpha Youth. I was leading some of the youth stuff a number of years ago. And if I remember, one of the core principles is a meal. Is that right? You shared a meal together, because the success of Alpha often was the meal. More people would come. When their bellies were full, they were more open to hearing the word of God. I think the New Testament church was very much on to something with these four elements that we have barely scratched the surface on. Scripture tells us in Acts 2:42, into the end of the chapter, that the disciples continued meeting at the temple for daily devotions at the Jewish hour of prayer. And as generations of Gentiles were added to their numbers, prayers from all cultures have collectively grown throughout the ages. One thing I don't know if I felt convicted, but I became very grateful this week while I was meditating on all of this. I am grateful for the prayers of the first century church, because we are here today. The first century church, in all its persecution, because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and their prayers, the church has gone global. And we are the recipients of their prayers. And I think the best place you can be in someone's life is in their prayer life. Amen? So continue to pray as the church, and continue to pray for each other. The disciples met at the temple for the daily devotions, the hour of prayer, and generation of generations were added. I'd like you to open your bulletins if you have them. I included in our bulletins this morning three prayers. One in the middle, you will see the Lord's Prayer. It's in Galilean Aramaic. This is the language that Peter, in particular, and the other disciples and Jesus would have read and written and spoken. And I've also included a prayer from two church fathers, Jerome and Origen. Jerome is most famous for translating the entire Bible into the Latin, the Vulgate, the Catholic Bible. And Origen is, sometimes he's known for some not so good things, but he's known as the father of beginning the aesthetic communities, where Christians gave up all goods, worldly goods, and they came together and lived very minimal lives, and they studied the Word of God all day. I thought it was appropriate for us to pray these prayers together. And before we do that, I just want to say, I said it just a few minutes ago, we just scratched the surface on what it means to be a healthy church. But at the same time, the profoundness of Acts 2:42 is very simple. Live it out. Be the church. Keep studying the Word of God together. Keep meeting together in agape love, fellowship. Eat together. Come to the Lord's table together and pray often. We could spend probably 5 years preaching and talking about prayer and never be complete. So in that spirit, I have asked for a special prayer service for next week. We're going to spend some significant time praying for one another. And so I'd like us all to begin praying tonight that the Holy Spirit will really move in and through us next week. I'm asking for us to come ready to pray, to come ready to hear, that's the listening part, to hear the prayers of our brothers and sisters. I think I sent an email to Stephen and Anna Marie this week, and I said, my vision for this service is that we pray so mightily that Jesus shows up bodily. So let's come next week eager for prayer. Bring your prayer requests with you, because I'm going to take some time to pray over you, and I'd like to know what I can pray about for you. Sounds good? A little hint about next week. I'm really excited. Tammy sent an email. She says, I'm really excited about this service, and so am I. Bless your heart. Mm-hmm. So am I. So on that note, let us conclude by praying. We're going to read first Jerome's prayer, and then at the bottom, Origen's, and then I will conclude in prayer. Let's stand together. Everybody has a copy of the prayer? Yep. Let us read. O good shepherd, seek me out and bring me home to thy fold again. Deal favorably with me according to thy good pleasure.
till I may dwell in thy house all the days of my life, and praise thee forever and ever with them that are there. Jesus, my feet are dirty. Come even as a slave to me. Pour water into your bowl. Come and wash my feet. In asking such a thing, I know I am overcome, but I dread what was threatened when you said to me, if I do not wash your feet, I have no fellowship with you. Wash my feet then, because I long for your companionship. O Lord Jesus Christ, supreme pastor of your church, we thank you for the creation of the Ecclesia, the community of believers who follow your way. Please help us to be devoted to your teachings, to loving each other, to the breaking of bread, and to praying. We adore you, we confess to you, we offer thanksgiving to you, and we ask on each other's behalf for you to meet our needs. We thank you for the Christian ministry of your servants around this world who are worshiping and praising you on this holy day. Good Shepherd, you founded your church on the rock of Peter's faith and have never left your flock unattended. Look with love upon us now and sustain Christian Baptist Church Newmarket, your ecclesia in whom you are delighted and whom you call beloved in faith, hope, and charity. Grant, Lord Jesus, in your boundless love for them, peace, mercy, strength, hope, and wisdom today and the days to come. And as we go now about our week and until we meet again, help us to gather those you put in our path, and may we lead them and each other faithfully to you. Thank you, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for your grace to us, our love to us, and we love you. In the powerful name of Jesus, your Son, our King, we pray these things and ask. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.